Could I get some kiddos that would like to serve as ushers today? Offering taker uppers? All right, Landon. You want to go on this side? Joe, you want to go over here? All right. These two young men are going to come around in a minute after I have Greg pray over the offering, and they'll come around, and then I'll have you guys turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. So, Greg, would you pray over the offering today? Amen. Thank you, Greg. All right, thanks, guys. If you would, find on the opposite end of the Bible from where we have been for the last few weeks, in Exodus, go way to the other end to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Easter is past, Palm Sunday is past, and we're on now to kind of a new theme, a new series on soul winning, sharing the gospel, evangelism. You could give any number of titles to this series of messages, but the focus is on doing what Jesus called us to do, being His gospel witnesses, being His gospel sharers in the world. And so to launch this off today, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians because I think we find here a great example of a gospel-shaped people. Gospel-shaped people. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in this opening chapter to his first letter to the Thessalonians. He says in his greeting, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. It's the word of the Lord. Thought this was a very appropriate passage to go to, particularly given that last little bit there in verse 10, following Easter Sunday. Of course, this letter was written many, many years, probably decades after that first Easter Sunday when Jesus rose from the dead. But the Apostle Paul was still commending to those believers, and it's commended to us even today, 2,000 years later, that why we worship is the resurrection. It's the risenness of Jesus that gives us our reason for worshiping. So the title today is A Gospel-Shaped People. And I want to just begin with some introductory kind of remarks. And there's several fill-ins for you today if you want to follow along in the back of your bulletin there. Each church, each and every local church, is both a gospel entity and a gospel agency, all right? Each church is a gospel entity and a gospel agency. And what I mean by that is that each and every local church that is a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ is an entity that gets its existence and that has its life by way of the gospel of Jesus. Okay? If there's no gospel of Jesus, there's no good news that God loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to this world to die in our place for our sins, then there's no need for Bridge Church. There would be no such thing as Bridge Church. And so we are a gospel entity in that we gather for the reason of the gospel. 12 years ago, this church was launched in Perry because there was a gospel need here. You say, well, there were other churches in Perry 12 years ago. That's right. There weren't enough. And there still aren't enough. There's a need for gospel churches. Everywhere there are lost people. Everywhere there are people who aren't reverencing and worshiping Jesus Christ. And so every church is a gospel entity, but every church is also a gospel agency. That means we don't simply exist by the gospel, we exist for the gospel. We exist for the propagation and for the promotion and the pushing forward of the gospel message, both here in our hometown, in our home neighborhoods, and around the world. So we're a gospel entity, and we are God's gospel agency. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. God doesn't have a mission for His church. He has a church for His mission. Okay? That mission is to make known the good news of a loving and saving, redeeming God and His Son, Jesus Christ. So we're a gospel entity and a gospel agency. Second little introductory piece here is that churches need to be reminded why they exist. We need to be reminded that we exist because of a gospel need. There was a gospel need in Perry. Many people have given their lives, have come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior through this church. We need to be also reminded that we exist to promote the gospel. So we need to be reminded why we exist. Often, distraction is part of that reminding process, right? Distraction can be part of the process by which churches are reminded, are brought back to focus on the reasons why they exist, the reason why they exist. What do I mean by that? Well, think about the word distraction, all right? There's a root word, traction, all right? And then there's a prefix, dis. So it's not getting traction. That's what a distraction is. It's like your car is stuck in the snow and your wheels are just going round and round. There's no traction. You're not making any progress. Or the mud. Wheels just spinning, mud slinging, no forward motions. That's distraction. And so in a spiritual sense, in a mental sense, we as the people of God can get distracted at times. And I've given you just some examples, and part of my hallmark, I guess this week is because my name is Darren. I just decided let's use all words that start with D. All right, there's a few of them there. I've given you discouragement, disagreements, demands upon our time, our energy, doubts, defensiveness, departures, others, and I give you a blank there. You can use all the 25 other letters of the alphabet to come up with other distractions that you feel, that you experience when it comes to losing your focus on the gospel. We could name many, many, many more. Let me just talk about one of those that I've listed for you there, the last one, departures. I would be remiss as your pastor if I didn't acknowledge before you, just kind of clear the air and call it what it is. We've had departures from our church, okay? We've had many over the 12 years of the life of this church, many. But we've had several of late. In particular, in the last 6 months or so, I believe I counted 5 families who have departed from our church. Now, let me just say to you, none of those families, and you know who they are, I don't need to name them. You know who they are. You love them as I do. Let me just say to you, all those who departed left with nothing but love in their hearts towards me, towards our church, and with thankfulness for being able to spend time in community with this church family. And the reasons for those departings are various. They range from family connections at another church to physically relocating and moving further away to wanting more discipleship opportunities for teens to stylistic preferences with respect to preaching and music and things of that nature. While I may not agree on every point or bit of reasoning for those departures, I cannot find it a sin in the Bible. I can't connect any of those departures with something that's called a sin in the Bible. Okay? And so I've chosen to pray for those folks. I hope that as you know, the people who've moved on recently from our church, I hope that you're praying for them as well. I hope you've reached out and let them know you miss them and that you love them, that you're praying, as I am, that the Lord will root them in other churches where they can continue to serve and be part of the body of Christ, the larger body of Christ, as many of them already are, have rooted in. And so, departures from a church family can be one element of distraction. What I've noticed in my own life is that I've gotten distracted by that. It's and these things kind of, for me, they kind of bleed together. They play off of one another. There's been a lot of discouragement that's come into my heart. Even though those folks left with goodwill and there's no ill will born between myself or our church and those folks, there's still a discouraging element to that. And there's part of my flesh that rises up and wants to get defensive. Personally defensive and defensive for the sake of our church when I hear that someone is going to be moving on and leaving our fellowship. All of these things, my point is, are distractions. They are a slippage of the gospel tires that we need to be digging in with and moving forward with. And so, wherever you land with respect to those that are listed here or any other types of things that might distract you, that might currently be distracting you from the work of the gospel, from your witnessing for Jesus, I'd like to just intervene in this service at this point. I'd like you just to bow your heads with me. We're just going to pray. I'm just going to ask you right there where you're at. Maybe you've got a pen and you wrote down a particular distraction that is something you commonly experience. Maybe there's one or two of those that you circled. Maybe you just circled them all. But I would like for us just to with our voices, as we have been getting more in the habit of doing, to verbalize and vocalize a prayer at this moment, just for a minute or two, to the Lord and pray and ask Him to reveal our distractions and to replace them with direction. Okay? Can we do that? I'll begin. Lord God, my prayer to You for myself and for our church is that You would take all of the things that make us busy, that tire us, that wear us out, wear us down spiritually, emotionally, and divert our minds and our energies from that which Jesus has left us here in the world to pursue, that distract us, that you would reveal that to us. We'd be able to just offload that, and that, Lord, we pray your Spirit would give us a renewed clarity about our direction, about our definition as gospel people. Would those things become clearer to us today? Let's lift our voices, church, just for a moment and pray over this. Thank you, Lord. I trust that you hear our prayers offered in Jesus' name. So in Thessalonians, if we could just turn to the Word of God. We've read this chapter. I want to just look at it now, because I think here there's a picture of a gospel-shaped people. What I want for our church is to create a culture, to be a culture of gospel sharing. Okay? I don't want to do a witnessing campaign. I don't want to set up and promote and advertise for a revival meeting where we're going to get some real fiery preacher in here and some rock band in here and just get all excited. I don't want a campaign. I want a culture of gospel sharing. Same as with prayer, and I really want that gospel sharing culture to flow out of a culture of prayer. Okay? I don't want a prayer event. I want a prayer environment. I want us to be people of prayer. And I believe if we are so, we will be much more focused as people of the gospel. And I think we could see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Just take a look at that greeting. You can see it in the first three words of the greeting. You can see this flow, this gospel shape of the ministry of Paul and then Silvanus. That's the long version of Silas. Wherever you see Silas, his full name was Silvanus. And Timothy. So Paul's ministry is developed, started out him and Barnabas, all right? After their first journey, Barnabas and Paul split up. Barnabas went with Mark. Paul went with Silas, and they revisited many of those towns and cities and churches where they went on their first disciple-making mission. One of those towns, there was a young man that Paul saw a lot of potential in. He had a Greek father and a Jewish mother, and his name was Timothy. And if you want to read some of the backstory on the church of Thessalonica, you can find that in Acts chapter 17, the beginning part of that chapter. And you can see the initial influx of the gospel into that city, in that region. It was part of the early work in Europe. After Paul had crossed over to Macedonia, Thessalonica, Berea, and then on down to Athens and Greece, he moved from the Asian continent of modern-day Turkey into the European area. Thessalonica was one of the very first places in Europe to hear the gospel. So you can read a little bit more on the backstory there. But Timothy is with him at that time. So Paul is influencing Silas, and Paul and Silas are influencing Timothy, their gospel life. Their lives are shaped by the gospel. Now, this series is called Sharing the Gospel. Well, we're not going to be good gospel sharers, and this is the big idea down at the bottom today. I'll just go ahead and give it to you. Gospel-shaped people are the most effective gospel-sharing people. If our lives aren't shaped and flavored by the gospel, we're not going to be sharing the gospel. We're going to be sharing something else, maybe. But it's not going to be the gospel. Now, mind you, just because we go into the world sharing the true gospel doesn't mean it's always received by everyone, right? Paul talks about how to some people the gospel is a pleasing aroma of life the aroma of Christ. To some, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a stench. But we go nonetheless. And so, as we look here at the story of the Thessalonican church and Paul's, the occasion of Paul's letter to them, notice again what he says in verses 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel shaped their actions. Gospel shaped their actions. Even though it's mentioned first here, how they had works of faith. Paul is commending them. He is thanking God for them. He's talking about how he prays and gives thanks to God the Father for the Thessalonians' works of faith, their labors of love. These are doing words, right? He's thanking God for that and for their steadfastness of hope. They are not just falling by the wayside and burning up in the heat of hostility against the gospel. No, they are staying steadfast. And these are action words. But even though it comes at the beginning here, notice, the gospel shaped their actions, but only because before that, the gospel had formed the foundation of their acceptance by God. You and I are accepted by a holy and righteous God only on His terms. And those terms are gospel terms. Those terms are Jesus' blood has paid the penalty for your sin, period. Apart from that, we don't get accepted by God. So the actions that Paul commends and is thanking God for, he mentions there early in verses 2 and 3, are being done only because they have been accepted by God. Look at verse 4. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you. You didn't choose Him. You didn't clean yourselves up and make yourselves acceptable to Him. He chose you. He just looked down from His holy throne in heaven and loved you and chose you. We know this. We know this about you. You are chosen by God. God has accepted you on His terms. So the gospel shaped their actions only because before that the gospel had formed the foundation of their acceptance by God, which shaped their attitude towards everything. Look at verse 5. Start in verse 4 again because it's all the same sentence. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word. All right, we came speaking and you were hearing it, but the power of our gospel made an immediate impact in your lives. It came in power and in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, by the way, is the source of that power. And what was the effect? Full conviction. With full conviction. What's full conviction mean? It means these Thessalonican Christians fully realized their desperate state before God. They fully realized that they were sinners in need of God's mercy. Sinners undeserving of God's grace and His love and of His acceptance of them. You and I, we are given the privilege and the honor and of sinning. What does our sinning do? It reminds us of how good God's grace is, doesn't it? At least it should. Now, does our sin please God? No, but the effect of our sin prompting the convicting work of the Holy Spirit in us and bringing us back to our knees and repentance and in desperation for God's mercy, that pleases God. So that's how I can say that for the Thessalonians and for you and I today, our sin is actually a blessing. I don't want to go out and sin. But when I do, the gospel comes with the power of the Holy Spirit and brings me to conviction, and I turn back to God. So, just walk through this again. The gospel shaped their actions only because before that, the gospel had formed the foundation of their acceptance by God, which shaped their attitude towards everything. When you're convicted about your state before a holy God, and that's permeating your mind, you're going to be conscious of things. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You're going to be conscious of the benefit that others are rendering you in your faith. The Thessalonian people were aware of the blessing that Paul and Silas and Timothy had been in their lives. Why? Because of the inner working of the Spirit of God, prompting them to listen to these men, listen to their message, embrace it. You know what kind of men we were among you. We were humble. We were working. We were not showboats. We were servants in the Lord. And this is all forming the attitude of the Thessalonican believers. The gospel shaped their attitude towards everything, even their afflictions. Look at verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction. It's one thing to say that the gospel makes you think happy thoughts when about God and about other people when everything's going pretty well in your life. But when you're in a season of affliction, whether that's an affliction that is rooted in your faith, an affliction from outside oppositional forces against the gospel working against you, afflicting you, or an affliction that doesn't necessarily have its roots in that, like an illness, a sickness, some type of grief. When you can have the attitude of saved ones and rescued ones, when you can have joy in the midst of that, then you know you've tapped into something holy, something from God. Then you know that you're operating on a gospel foundation in life. The gospel shaped their attitude towards everything, even their afflictions. And what was the result of this? Well, it created a broadly known atmosphere. That's the convenient A word that goes along with the word culture or environment, right? This created a broadly known atmosphere of faith. Look at verses 7 to 9. So that, all right, so you became imitators of us and the Lord. You received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So that, all right, there's a purpose in that. There's a goal in that joyous affliction. So that you became an example to all the believers. God's purpose is for you and me to be examples. God's purpose in your affliction is for you to be an example to others of His goodness. So that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. Now, what do we know about the Macedonians? All right, let's just connect some dots here. Thessalonica is mentioned first in Acts 17. It's mentioned first in that series of churches where Paul served, and it's all in the region of Macedonia. Those Macedonian Christians were later commended by the Apostle Paul for their great generosity, right? When Paul was taking up his love offering, And he was going church to church and receiving this benevolent offering for the starving church in Jerusalem. He commended to the Corinthians the churches of Macedonia for their generosity. They gave even out of their poverty, and they gave cheerfully. Well, those Macedonians, the churches in that Macedonian region, according to this, were influenced by the Thessalonians. That this attitude of joy and abundance, even in affliction, was highly influential. It created this total atmosphere amongst those churches of joy and affliction. It was known. It was felt. It was smelt. These people don't have anything, but yet they live like they've got everything. Do we live like that? I mean, we've got a lot. You just look around. We've got a lot. Okay? Spencer donated. He and Katie just moved. The house they were renting was sold, and they moved out. Well, he donated to me and Deborah. They donated to me and Deborah some very nice shelving. You know that modular plastic shelving you put together and you... And I just really am thankful for that because I've got a lot of shoes. You guys that accuse your wives of shoe fetishes and all this, come to my garage and I'll show you, I'll tell you my life story in pairs of tennis shoes for the last 12 years. I've got them. Well, I might need those for wading in the creek. I might use those for mowing the grass. Yeah. What's that? So we've got a lot, don't we? We got more than we need. But are we living in such a way that if that changes and all the finery and all the abundance of stuff that we have is taken away or goes away, that we'll still be joyful? That we'll still live with a generous spirit? I hope so. I hope we'll live like the Thessalonians. I hope that our generosity will just flow out of our poverty because we have all that we need in Christ, because we have the gospel, because it's shaped us, it's flavored us. And so this created a broadly known atmosphere of faith marked by Christward aspiration. All right, last of the A's. You're welcome. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. All of the aspirations of the Thessalonian Christians were fixated on Jesus. They were fixated and they were fastened to the fact of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Man, when you've got that as an anchor, everything else can be stripped away. When your life is anchored to the cross, where the penalty was paid, and to the stone rolled away and the empty grave and the new life that is bestowed through that, you're not moving. You're not going to be blown and tossed around. You're not going to be despairing should everything else be taken away from you. We have in the Scripture, we have in the New Testament examples of Christians for whom that was true. Everything was taken away, right down to their very lives. We have that example in the world today of Christians for whom everything is being taken away, even their lives. And yet they're joyful. And yet they worship and give glory to God in heaven. Will that be true of us? Are we so shaped by the gospel that the true gospel is what we share and not a fiction? Not a fiction of, well, just come and get fixed. Get your problems fixed. Come to God and get right with God and things will start going well for you. That's fiction. That's not the true gospel. But when we're shaped by the gospel of salvation through Jesus, we will share the true gospel in this world. The true gospel says you don't need anything but Jesus. So let's just read through it one more time. The gospel shaped their actions, but only because before that, the gospel had formed the foundation of their acceptance before God. That's the starting point. We are accepted before God on the basis of Jesus, which shaped their attitude, their mental outlook on everything, even, perhaps especially, their afflictions. This created a broadly known atmosphere. It was known. It began to ripple out from them in their area of faith, a faith that was marked by Christward aspiration. Or you could shorten that and just say a Christward aim. Everything, their attention, their lives, their resources, everything was aimed towards Christ. I want us to be a gospel-sharing people. And we're going to have some messages that maybe come across a little more practical in that I'm going to do some talking about sharing the faith, sharing the gospel with people, having gospel conversations with people. How many of you have had a gospel conversation this week? Good. Good. I might be calling on some of you to talk about how you talk about the gospel. Listen, when it shaped your whole life, did you catch that right there at the beginning? To the church in verse 1 of the Thessalonians, what's our position? What's their position? In God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's like the church is encapsulated within. It's contained within God and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're put into a container, you begin to take on the shape of that which contains you. Listen, church, we are in the Father and we are in Jesus Christ by His mercy. Not because we invited ourselves in and welcomed ourselves in, but because He received us. And so, if we're going to be gospel-sharing people, the most effective kind of gospel-sharing people, we've got to first be truly gospel-shaped people. Our lives have to be marked by the tone and the color and the flavor of Jesus Christ. Self-giving. Are we selfish today? Are we distracted by the things that we want? The comforts that we want? Or are we willing to part with those things in order to bless others the way Jesus did? And on down the list we could go. Are our lives in every way shaped and colored by Jesus? Perhaps you're here and that's a very fundamental, basic, the most important question you have to answer today. If you've been a Christian for a long time, perhaps you can ask it, in what way is my life not being shaped by Jesus? But if you're not a believer in the Lord, if you are here as someone who is new to this news, this good news, then the first question you've got to answer is, are you in Christ? And that comes by faith. It comes by receiving the gift that He has offered. And so as we bow our heads, actually let's stand together and grab from your baskets in front of you We're going to do this again. We did this a couple weeks ago. Grab one of these green cards here. I think some of them are green on one side and nope. The list is what I'm talking about right here. It's called Praying for the Harvest. It's a list of names broken down by day of the week. Ruth, did you get one of those? Here, let me share one of those down here with you. You come down here and gather around one of these green signs on your table. There's a sign for every day of the week. We're going to gather and we're going to lift up in your little huddle around that day of the week. You're going to pray with your group for those names listed under that day of the week. As we close this time together in prayer for the harvest, let's pray also that we are gospel-shaped people so that we can go and share the gospel with great effect in these people's lives. I'm going to invite you to begin praying. Pray with your group. Pray aloud. You can designate one person or you can all pray in unison together. Let's just voice a prayer. Kyle, would you come and just voice a prayer over the remaining moments here as we conclude this time?
Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this community we have, our church family, Lord. And I pray for every single one of the names on this list and for everybody in this building today, God. And whether they're Christians already on this list, if they don't know the love of that love you have for them, that your son Jesus has for them, the sacrifice he's made, I ask that you put people in their lives who can tell them and show them, and that the Holy Spirit just works in them, Lord. And I thank you so much for this time to pray in this environment. We have a lot of freedom in that aspect here in this state of Ohio, and I thank you for this time this morning, Lord, with going over your word and praying with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. In your son's Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's remain standing and sing one last song together.
Darren.
Yes, Nancy. Yes, please share. Would you like a microphone?
No.
Okay.
I think everybody can hear me. I just got a message on my phone, which I will read after I tell you a little bit about the story this morning. But we have a family that lives in Madison, and when I went to Hears Hope Church, I got to know them real well, and their daughter Julie is married to a pastor now. She was one of my little GA girls. And her dad and mom, who live in Madison still, were visiting Julie and her husband, Aaron, in Florida, and Julie's husband, Aaron, is a pastor there. And ever since they've moved to Florida, as soon as they bought a home, it was filled with bugs. None of their children got sick. As I remember, I don't think they had any insurance. He got very sick, and the only doctor that can treat him because of a baby-sized heart, his heart never developed, was a doctor in Akron, and God just took over in that issue and brought him through that, but just trial after trial for him. And anyhow, Julie's dad was down in Florida visiting. He and Anita, and he went out for a walk one night and he got hit by a car and he was nearly killed. He was in the hospital probably at least 3 weeks, and their insurance wasn't going to be able to cover stuff because they were in Florida. He's had a tough time recovering. Just about a week or two weeks ago, they got him home back to Madison, and they got him into a VA hospital where he could get some treatment. The boy and his girlfriend, who hit Dale, did not stop. Dale is healing. He had a terrible injury on the back of his leg, and now that is all healed. So it's been a really, really bad time for them. I got a message from Terry, their older daughter that lives here, this morning, and just want to encourage you guys to never give up praying. She said, "Good morning. I have an update in regards to Dad's accident that I would like to share with you. The car that hit Dad was driven by a 21-year-old male with an 18-year-old female passenger. The female passenger's family knows a family that attends Julie and Aaron's church. She was able to get Aaron's phone number this week and contacted him yesterday. She is a broken young woman who has had a very troubled past, including drugs, alcohol, and a criminal record. She told Aaron that she is devastated over what happened and that it's constantly on her mind. She is tormented. They talked for about 40 minutes. Aaron was able to give her the gospel message, and she got saved. Over the phone, Aaron assured her that Dad would be thrilled to hear the news, and he was confident that it would help Dad understand and God's plan in all of this suffering. When Aaron called afterwards, Dad cried with joy and said if this situation brought her to salvation, then it was worth it all. My heart is overwhelmed by God's goodness and mercy. He not only miraculously brought this girl out of life, a life bound for hell, but has also used this to help our family understand and that he has a plan. It's been the most difficult thing we have faced together so far, and I wish that things could have happened differently, but we are all growing in our faith and adoration of our Savior. I hope this encourages you in your faith as well. And I'll tell you a little humorous thing about prayer too. Little Delilah, who comes to church, she's 5.
Nancy's great-granddaughter.
Yep, my granddaughter. We filled out the green sheets that are here. I put her mommy's name on it to pray for her salvation. You've got a sneaking look on your face. Do you know this story?
Nope.
Kiki and Delilah were in the car, and they picked up the green sheet. And they're very dramatically talking about the green sheet of paper. Kiki, or one of them, said, oh my goodness, these people don't know Jesus. Look at all these people. They don't like Jesus. They don't love him. They don't know him. And they're just going on and on and on. And Shana, or Delilah, says, my mommy's name is on here. And Kiki, she doesn't know Jesus. She doesn't love Jesus. And Shana, I think it was Shana that spoke up and said, who would put my name on there? And Delilah yells, oh, that had to be Grandma Nancy. So don't think your kids don't hear you.
Amen. Well, thank you for sharing that, Nancy. Let's pray. Let's continue to pray for this brother's healing in Madison and for this young woman who, through crazy circumstances, God has orchestrated salvation.
Just look how he put all that together. Yeah. That yeah. girl got a hold of his name. A lady that went to their church. And
yeah. Praise the Lord. Him. Wow.
Can I say something to
sure.
you?
Sure.
I'm sorry. I know everybody's probably got things to do or whatever, but I just have a huge praise out to God, too.
I actually wanted to say it, but I'm not a very good speaker, so.
Go ahead.
I can say it better.
Go ahead.
I'm glad that you came to the house 4 weeks ago. And if you wouldn't have came to the house 4 weeks ago, I wouldn't be here today or the last few times that I've came. I just wouldn't have came.
Wow.
You changed a whole lot of things and made me see that one day, the words that you said made me see a whole lot of things differently.
Wow.
And
I'm supposed to be able to sing after this now?
I just want to thank everybody who has been praying. I have been praying a long time, and I know a lot of you have because you've come to me and you've told me. And I just want to say, you know, God is so good, and he does. He hears our prayers, and he answers them on his timing, and we have to learn to be patient and wait on him. But when he answers them, he's so good. I mean, look, Joe, my husband's here. And I know you've been praying about that. And what an example, right? How does that feel when God answers your prayers, right? You've been praying about my husband. And thank you. And Darren, you too. And everybody else, you know. And my husband he gave us 2 weeks' notice at his job. And him and I, we don't pray together. But the one day, I came downstairs and I said, Mark, he was out in the garage. I says, I need you to come in the house, and I need you to pray with me right now. He goes, right now? I go, right now. He was working on something. He's like, I mean, can you give me 5 minutes? I said, 5 minutes, and then come and pray with me. He said, okay. 5 minutes, he came in the house, and we've never prayed together. But we held hands, and we prayed about our future, our financial difficulty, about starting a new business, and, you know, what can be done.
Starting up an old business.
Right, but restarting it. And, you know, it's so odd because we're starting a trucking business, but he wasn't so sure about it. And he's driving down the road. He's been praying about it. And this truck goes by, and on the side of it, it says Faith Builders with a cross. I'm like, Faith Builders? He calls me up.
It's called a hot shot. And my business before was a semi and trailers. And I said to myself, well, I'm going back into that. So it would be hot shot, which is just a pickup and a trailer. Well, I kept going back and forth, okay, with what kind of trailer and what am I supposed to do and all this. And I'm coming back home, and I'm still at work, but I'm in a semi going home on 90. And coming back from Canton, I just said, I was coming back from Fredericktown, Ohio. And normally, I would never take this way coming home. I would have took 30 and the back roads I went home. Well, someone said, I'm going to take 90 all the way back today, which is something that I, like I said, would have never have taken that way. But I get on 90, and I start seeing all these different trucks. But one particular truck comes by me, and it says Faith Builders, and it's an older guy doing the same thing that I've been going back and forth with on this. And
praying about it.
Same truck, same trailer, and everything that I want to use for this, but in his window is a big cross, and the name of his business is Faith Builders. And I call Pam immediately. And this...
He's like, I think God is answering my prayer, and he tells me this. I'm like, I mean, that's incredible. I mean, because I've never seen this trucking place, and it was all the way from Oklahoma. So that's kind of strange. The very next day, my sister Jennifer, because we're still praying about this, the next day, like, okay, God, you know, give us a sign if this is the right thing for us to do. Like, that wasn't enough. But the next day, Jennifer and Tiana and I get on the highway, and I'm not kidding. That same truck, I've never seen this truck, drives right by us, just like he said. I'm like, Faith Builders? Tiana's like, Faith Builders? That truck says Faith Builder. I'm like, Faith Builders? I call Mark. I'm like, okay, I'm good. I mean, I don't know how much more that we need, but, you know, we're trying to, you know, pay attention and listen to God as he's answering our prayers, and we don't know what's going to come of it, but we're thankful whatever comes of it, you know, whether it be, you know, not so good or good or whatever, but we're thankful in our trials.
I gave my 2 weeks that day.
And then also one more thing, please. On these green pieces of paper, please continue praying, because my cousin Danny is on here, and he's an atheist, okay? And his dad is my uncle, and he's 70 in a couple days. But anyways, he is a reverend, okay? And him and his son don't talk anymore, okay, because my uncle prays for him and talks about Jesus, and my cousin doesn't want to hear anything about that. My cousin is 51, so we're always close growing up. I haven't seen my cousin in 4.5 years since my dad has passed away, and we have been praying. My cousin is on here. We've been praying, and I spoke to my uncle a week ago, and I did not know that him and Danny were not talking. He's little Danny, my uncle's big Danny. But anyways, I said, Uncle Danny, I'm going to pray for you and Danny, because I know you love him so much. Like I said, I haven't seen my cousin in 4.5 years. He's on my Facebook. I haven't spoke to him, nothing. On Thursday, my sister and Tiana and I were all we're getting ready to go to lunch. We're all the way out on Harvard Avenue. My cousin lives in Mentor. He's a nurse at Metro. We can't decide where we're going to lunch. I mean, we went through like 5 or 6 different places. We said Whole Foods, not that they're expensive. But anyways, we went to Whole Foods, okay? And we didn't even want to go there. We haven't been there in like 8 months after trying to figure out where to go. I walk in, I'm making my plate around the thing, and I look up, And from like where Martha is to me, there's my cousin Danny. I said, Danny? This is 4 days later after I'm praying for my uncle and my cousin Danny. I said, Danny? He said, I thought that was you. And he comes over, he hugs me. I said, what a blessing. I said, what are you doing here? You work out here? No, no. And I see his wife come along. What are you guys doing here? You guys live in Mentor, right? Oh, we just thought we would come to Whole Foods to go shopping, I said. He said, no, to have lunch. Really? To have lunch? Okay, so I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that things happen because God wants them to happen. And I believe God, you know, set that up perfect like he did. And, you know, I got to talk to my cousin. No, is he now a Christian? No. But anyways, I'm just saying how God uses us to get out there and talk to people, whether they're our family or not. He uses us, and it's important that we continue being an example of Christ, you know, and being bold and not being afraid to tell people of the gospel. Because I have to tell you, I was so excited. I immediately called my uncle, and I said, you're not going to believe this. And it was just an amazing thing. So I just want to say praise to God, and thank you, everybody, for praying, and continue praying for these people.
Amen. Thank you, Pam. Mark, brother, you are welcome, and you are wanted, and we're so glad that you're here. I appreciate sharing that. Let's sing.